say of generous people that they have a certain characteristics that they share. For one, they're more relaxed. Generous people seem to be hard workers. They seem to be very kind. They seem to feel freer. They have better relationships with their family and friends and coworkers. They're very confident people. And in general, they're very happy people, generous people. The Paradox of Generosity is a new book out by sociologist Christian Smith and Hillary Davidson. They also made a presentation at Notre Dame recently about a study called the Science of Generosity Initiative. It's a study of some 2,000 people, so it involves a lot of people. And the study described generous people as being very happy, and there's a few threads that they have in common. Number one, very happy, generous people volunteer 5.8 hours of their time each month to the community or to other things. They volunteer. Those who describe themselves as unhappy only volunteered an average of 0.6 per month. The result of this study is the most comprehensive study on American giving habits done yet to date. The study showed that 41% of those studied gave away more than 10% of their annual income. And because of that, they are described as rarely or never feeling depressed. They also found in the study that 31% of those who did not consider themselves generous were not in as good as health as those who gave significantly with their resources. The definition of generous, according to Merriam-Webster, is liberty in giving, giving liberally. Just with whatever you have open hands. And generous is a powerful word. Too many people today in the world that we live in, both in and out of the church, they don't position themselves in a place of generosity. And it's really a shame because generous people have enormous potential to impact the world and influence the world around us. Think about the people in your life who have been generous towards you. And it probably doesn't take you but seconds to recall them in your memory. Why? Because generous people impact our lives. They have a way of influencing us. When we have open hands and we open our lives up towards others, people receive that because people in the world at large just don't do that all the time, especially in New England where we have the stigma of being a more reserved people. But people who open up their lives and are generous with their lives, we can impact the world. We can have influence significantly in the lives of people around us. There's a pastor, he pastors in a Nebraska church of about 2,200, and he was my youth pastor at one time. His name's Rick Lormer, and over the last 30 years, he's continued to be a significant person in my life, but I can't even begin to describe his generosity towards me over the year. As a young man, I remember every time we would go out to eat as one of his leaders, he would never, ever let me pay for a meal. He would always pay for it. Matter of fact, I think only in the last couple years have I had the opportunity to finally pay for a meal for Rick Lormer. Secondly, just many, many times have I picked up the phone and several different types of just life issues. He's always been more than generous with his time and to pour into my life. You know, whether you're in sales or whether you have a desire to lead others to a relationship with Jesus Christ, or whether you're a parent trying to deepen your relationship with your children, generosity is a powerful thing. Being generous towards people, it's a powerful thing. And I'm going to say generosity or generous a lot today, because when you leave here, I want it ringing through your mind as you walk out of these doors. Generous, to be a generous people. It's who God is towards us, amen? And it's who we are to be to the world around us. Studies have also shown that people who do not live generously, they seem to be more prone towards financial difficulties, relational difficulties, health issues, and spiritual stagnation. And this is just a few. The good news is that there are generous people in the world, and any of us, if we're not generous people, we can begin to make the move towards generosity. Amen? Matter of fact, listen, church, as the church of God, we, the family of God, we must begin to make that move towards generosity. As we open up our lives, as we open up our gifts, our talents, and our resources to our community and the world around us, think of the potential that lies before us. Generosity impacts lives. The question I have for you this morning as we get into the Word of God is, are you a generous person today? Are you a generous person? One of those generous people who are in the world today, his name is Bill Gates. How many have heard that name before somewhere in time? Yep. Forbes magazine tracks the richest people in the world on a year-to-year basis, and according to them, from 2017 to 2018, Bill Gates went from being worth $86 billion to being worth over $90 billion. That's a $4 billion increase in 1 year. Bill Gates averages out to be about $10,959,000 a day, which also equals $456,625 per hour, or $7,610 per minute, or check this out, $127 per second is what Bill Gates made during that year. Bill and Melinda Gates, they give away about 58% of their income. And he'll likely earn most of that back through interest on his bank accounts, but I still would call that very generous. Some of you may be thinking, hey, that's great, Pastor Tim. If I made $90 billion, I'd have no problem being generous too. Someone say amen. It's no wonder Bill Gates walks around with a smile on his face all the time. But let me make something really clear to us as the church of God today, Liberty Church family. Generosity has very little to do with money. As a matter of fact, generosity has nothing to do with money. Generosity is an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's a way we choose to live our lives. When we get to Nicaragua here in just a few months, by the way, slim window, but if you still want to go with us, you can jump on board. We have about 13 right now who are going to be headed to Nicaragua. When we get to Nicaragua, it's the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. But you know what? We're going to be going into people's homes, and many of those homes are going to have dirt floors. Many of those homes off in the corner will be their beds that are not made out of mattresses. They're made out of stacks of cardboard. And you know what's going to happen? Because this will be my seventh trip there, I can tell you what's going to happen. When we're in those homes, they will make us, their guests, feel like we're the most important people in the entire world. It has nothing to do with money, but they will show us generosity that has blown me away time after time after time in my visits to Nicaragua. Why? Because Nicaraguans at large have a generous heart. They're a generous people. Amen? Back in August, in this service, I had some really good friends that were out visiting from Iowa. Steve and Jenny Nixon, grew up with Steve. He's one of my lifelong best friends, and we had a great time with them. But last Sunday afternoon, I received this text that I'm going to read verbatim, their text to me and my text back to them. Steve wrote me, and he said, "Just wanted you to know, Jenny is donating a kidney tomorrow, something she felt she's wanted to do for a while now. Don't know the recipient. Keep her in your prayers, if you will. Thanks." And my text back to her started off with all caps, WHAAAT exclamation point. What? Wow. That's a very generous thing to do. We will absolutely be praying. Please let her know we are proud of her and we're on her prayer team. You see, Liberty Church family, generosity has nothing to do with money. It's an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's opening up our lives and giving ourselves away to the world around us. Why? Because we want to be salt and light. We want to help lead others to the most generous person who ever has existed in the universe, our God, Jehovah God. As we're just a few days away from Christmas Day, we're about to celebrate what is the greatest and most generous gift ever given to mankind. Why? Because our God is a generous God. The title of my message this morning is God with Us Beyond Generosity, because Christmas is all about God being generous towards his children. As we contemplate the generosity of God, I want you to check this out. This was so cool. We all know this. We may not know the numbers, but we all know that God is generous if we take a moment to think about it. But listen, he made the seas, he made the mountains, and he made every river. He made 750,000 different species of insects. He's made over 400,000 species of flowers. He's made over 200,000 species of edible plants. He's made over 10,000 species of birds. He's made chipmunks too numerous to count, and they all live in my yard in West Boylston. And stars to infinity and beyond. Every good thing that we enjoy in life, every good thing comes down from our Father in heaven, extended towards us. Whether we're a Christian or not a Christian, we all benefit from the generosity of God. Amen? Every good thing a person enjoys in life is a gift from our Father in heaven. And there's more. Think about this. God has given to all of us our senses, our sight, our sound, our touch, our taste, our smell. He gave us our senses. Why? So we can enjoy the world around us. Think about a sunset that wowed you at some point in time in your life. Think about hiking a mountain and just seeing how magnificent they are. Or while you're on that hiking trail, reaching over and just touching the bark on the tree and being able to feel it, or smelling the flowers and the plants in the air around us. Our God is a generous God, amen? And he wants to make sure that you and I have the opportunity to enjoy the world and the life and the breath that he's given to us. God has created our universe with perfection, with elegance, and with all complexity. God designed the universe with what I would call extra creativity, in that he gave us more than what we've needed. He has given us more than enough and more than we could ever even begin to comprehend. Listen, one day you and I are going to take our last breath. It's just inevitable. And I am confident that though we have seen and experienced much of the world around us, there is so much about the world we live in that we can't even begin to think, dream, or imagine. And we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see certain things or hear about certain things. And we're like, where was that? Oh, that was on earth. Well, I never knew that. I never experienced that. Why? Because the world that we live in possesses way more than you and I could ever begin to experience. Why? Because our God is a generous God. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we seek, ask, or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. In another place in the scripture, it says that no person has ever seen, heard, or imagined all the wonderful things that God has in store for those who believe. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9. But let's go back to Ephesians 3 for just a moment. It says there, according to the power working within us. God's power works within us through faith. We have to believe. We have to believe that this world that we live in is filled with the generosity of God. We have to believe that our God is a generous God. The Spirit that lives within us, it only works when you and I believe. It only works when you and I have faith. When I say it only works, I mean we only get to experience the power and the generosity of God when we believe and when we walk in faith. God is generous, and his generosity exists all around us. But church, you and I, we need to rise up and we need to let the power of God's Spirit working within us lead us to experiencing all that is in the world around us. He's a generous God. When you believe, when you walk in faith, God shows, he proves that he's a generous God, and he will have a great impact and influence on your life. And God is wanting us to take that influence and to extend it out to the world around us. Since the beginning of time, God has lavished upon us so many gifts. However, as we head towards Christmas in just a couple days, and when I think of the generosity of God, there is nothing more generous that God has ever given us than the little baby we celebrate, born in a manger in Bethlehem. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. The Bible calls Jesus the free gift of God. He's a generous God. He gave his only son, sent him into the world. Why? Because he loves each and every last one of us. Let's go to one piece of the Christmas text together this morning. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 24 together. If you've got your Bible, we've been challenging you to bring your Bible with you to church. You can open up and follow along or on the screen behind me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And they did indeed call his name Jesus, which means Emmanuel, God with us. Now imagine for a moment what it must have been like for Mary. Put yourself in her sandals for just a moment. She's young, she's engaged, she's excited, and she's minding her own business when all of a sudden she gets visited by a divine being. She was given the incredible news that she, a virgin, was to give birth to the Savior of the world, the Messiah who had long been foretold by the prophets. The world would be given the Savior of all. Put yourself in Mary's place. What would you be thinking? What would you be feeling? How would you respond? Mary's response, what was it? She didn't hesitate. She laid all that she had at the feet of God, and she said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you will. Send your son. Let it be in me as you have said. Emmanuel, God with us." When you think about all that God has done for us, when you think about it, we discover that our God is beyond generous. Through God's one big generous gift of Jesus Christ, God with us, he's given us so very much. He's actually given us much more than we can even begin to discuss. But this morning, I want to take a look at just five areas of God's generosity. That is a generous love. That is a generous grace. That is a generous salvation, a generous eternity, and a generous example. Let's start with God's generous love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And this last verse says that love never fails. That's quite the list, amen? That's quite an awesome love, amen? This is how God loves us. Look, that portion of scripture has been used time and time and time again in weddings all over the world. But there's one thing I know about that scripture as it relates to us and it relates to God. I know that no man has ever totally kept to or has been able to fulfill those love requirements. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we serve a God who has fulfilled every single one of those promises to us with great detail. Why? Because he's a generous God and he's generous in his love. Amen? Generous. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Why? Because he's a generous God, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And then we have a generous grace. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through God's gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ." The word translated grace in the New Testament is the word charis, and it means favor, blessing, or kindness. It's the favor of God. It's the blessing of God. It's the kindness of God extended towards us. We can all extend grace towards someone. If they offend us, we can forgive them. We can walk the extra mile with them, but we can never, to the extent of God's grace, experience or give the experience to someone else like God has given to us. God's grace is powerful. God's love for us and his grace, they work closely together. God's love has pulled us out of sin. How many have had that experience? Can I see a hand this morning? God's grace and his love has reached down from heaven and yanked us out of the pit of hell to discipline and to prune us. Why? Because he's a father who gives generously to us in his love and grace, and to give us joy. He replaces the bondage and the fear that is so prevalent in many of our lives at certain periods, and he replaces it with his joy. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God." He's a giving God. He never stops giving. He just keeps giving and giving and giving. God with us is beyond generous. How about generous salvation? Every Christmas and Easter, we celebrate. It's a 100% focus on the gift of God's generosity towards us. Salvation is God delivering us from danger and suffering. Salvation is given to us to deliver us, to save us, and to protect us. He gives us, through his salvation, he gives us victory. He gives us spiritual and physical health, and he preserves us beginning now and on in and through all of eternity. What has he saved us from? He has saved us from his wrath. There is coming a day when God will judge this world because of its sin. But through his gift given on Christmas morning, the gift of Jesus Christ and the salvation given through a generous God, for all who believe in the power by faith in Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from his coming wrath. Amen? Now that wrath was not intended for us. Let's look at the scripture. Romans 5:9 says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, the blood of Jesus, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Lord Jesus Christ our Lord." See, it was never intended for us to experience the wrath of God. But when Adam and Eve sinned and sin fell upon all man, we inherited that sinful nature. God one day knew he would have to judge Satan and his demons and all of sin. And so because of that inherited nature, we too are subject to the wrath of God. But out of his great generosity and love for us, he had a plan all along. Before the foundation of this world was put into place, he had a plan all along. He would generously send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to be a gift offering for you and I. And he would take our place. He would take on the wrath of God. He would take on God's judgment on the cross in our place. And then God would raise him from the dead to prove, to put the exclamation point behind the fact that he indeed was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah and Savior of all. Amen? And listen, yes. God's wrath was never intended for you, my friend. But you will experience it apart from the gift of God. He made a way so that no one in the world would ever have to experience or taste the judgment of God. But you and I, we all have the opportunity to both receive or reject that great gift. Let's go on to generous eternal life. When the Bible speaks of eternal life, it refers to the gift of God that comes only through Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord." The gift of eternal life It comes to those who believe, for those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, I am the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they will die. See, it's appointed unto man to die once. We will all take our last breath in this physical life. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, our last breath of our physical life is our first breath of eternal life. Amen? John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. You see, the free gift, it's out there for anyone to have faith, to believe, and to receive. But for the one who rejects the free gift of God, his son Jesus Christ, the scripture just said that the wrath of God remains on you. And then we have a generous example, God with us. He's beyond generous. Jesus left his kingdom in heaven. He left all of his glory and all of his splendor, and he came to us in human flesh. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. That word is translated as Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. This alone would have been enough to make God the most generous of all beings ever to have walked the universe. This is God with us. This is beyond generous, but then it gets better. As I read this next portion of scripture, it's one of the places in scripture that has blown my mind time and time again. Philippians 2:5-10. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing for us to grasp. So he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Jesus came to us. God sent his son to us, and he became like us. He emptied himself. He became a servant. He became like man. He was in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient. Hebrews 2:14 takes it just a little bit further. Since, therefore, the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham, that's us. Therefore, verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Listen, God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. He became like us, and he lived for a short period of time compared to the time the world's been in existence. But for 33 years, Jesus Christ, he lived as a man. He walked as a man. Yes, he was fully God in every respect, fully God, fully human, fully man. He experienced what death was like. He experienced ill health and sickness, and he overcame it all. He experienced the demonic work of the kingdom of hell, and guess what? He had victory over it. Jesus Christ knew firsthand what it's like to suffer. So when you and I go through the things that we go through in this life, no matter what it might be that we face on a day in or a day out basis, Jesus knows exactly what we go through, and he can empathize with us. He knows, and that allows him the opportunity to not only take care of business, but to come alongside of us and to put his arms around us and to hold us and to let us know that he knows, he understands, and he will lead us to the same victory that he had over each and every circumstance. Amen? He's a powerful God. He's a powerful God. He's a generous God. He's a generous God. Beyond generous. This is God with us, folks. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Our God, he's beyond generous. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. You see, that's where it all begins, right there. You and I must understand that apart from God, we're sinners, and our fate doesn't look too well. But God has extended to us a free gift that he's wanting to give to all of us, a gift that he paid dearly for, that Jesus paid for with his own blood. He paid for it so that you and I could be with him, have relationship, and experience his generosity now and through all eternity. Amen? Listen, many of you, as we celebrate Christmas, have bought gifts for someone. And for some of you, you put a lot of time, a lot of energy, or a lot of thought into that gift, and it makes that gift priceless. For others, maybe you like to go to fine stores and you buy expensive gifts because God has blessed you with a lot of money. Listen, when those gifts that you give to that loved one, that friend, that son or daughter or parent, listen, it's of great value. You put a lot into that. It cost you a lot, whether it was money, time, or creativity. It cost you a lot. And you're freely offering that gift this Christmas to your loved one. You're not expecting anything in return, are you? As a matter of fact, you take great joy in taking that gift and giving it to the person that you purchased it for. Amen? Are you with me? It didn't cost you, it didn't cost them anything. But listen, that person has an option to either receive the gift or to reject the gift. Most of the time at Christmas, we all receive. We all dig right in. We can't wait to tear off all the paper and see what's on the inside. But every once in a while, we get a gift that is just so wow that it's humbling. And it's like we kind of go like, I can't take this. I can't receive this, because we understand just how much that gift is worth. In order to receive the free gift of God, all of us have to understand that we fall short of the glory of God, and we're not worthy of the gift that he wants to give us. And we have to humble ourselves. We have to say, God, forgive me. I receive this gift. Of course, there are those in the world who reject the free gift of God. I don't know why. Why would you want to reject such an awesome gift from such a generous, loving God who has nothing but your best interest and nothing but your pleasure in mind? He wants you to experience the fullness of your creative potential. He created you in your mother's womb way before you took your first breath. He had a plan, a purpose, and a direction for your life. Why would you not want to experience your God-given destiny? He's offering it to you. He's offering restoration and relationship. He's offering us full completeness now and through all of eternity. All we have to do is say yes to the free gift, humble ourselves, and receive it. And our whole world will begin to change.
Dim the light, we stroke the fire, we breathe the evergreen, and young ones wait while the old ones make up tales of how it used to be. China dolls, candy corn, and painted wood. Treasures found to to the wondrous sound of caroling the Savior born to us on Christmas morn. We Emmanuel, God with us. We Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of Israel. And silly calls through the night, beyond the days of old, a voice of peace to the weary ones who struggle with the human soul. And all of us travelers through a given time, who can know what tomorrow holds? But over the horizon, surely you and I will find. We Well, the years they come and the years they go, though we may forget somehow that the child once born in Bethlehem is still among us now.
Stand all over this place this morning. Emmanuel, God with us. Or let me say it a little bit different this morning. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. And in this place today, I know that there's one or two or maybe a few who are sitting in these seats or pews who you have never received. You've never taken the free gift that God has extended towards you. Today you are here. You may think it's at the invitation of a family member or friend or because you're in from out of town visiting, but I'm here to say today, you are here because God drew you to this place. You're here today because one more time, God is wanting to offer to you the free gift of His Son who paid the penalty for your sins. And He's wanting to begin in your heart, your mind, and your life, eternal life. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Tim, I do not have a relationship with God, but I know I need one. I know I need my sins forgiven, and I want that eternal life that God is wanting to give to me. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Tim, this Christmas, I want to receive the gift of God, and I would more than happy, raise my hand to say so. If that's you today, would you raise your hand in this place and say, Pastor Tim, I need Jesus in my life and I receive his gift, his generous gift of love and salvation. I receive it today by faith in Jesus' name. Is there anyone here that wants to do that this morning? Anyone, raise your hand up high. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Can we give God a hand clap this morning? Two things in closing. The altars are going to be open in just a moment as we begin to sing. I would love for you to come and join me in just finding a personal moment or space to just pray and let God finish the work that he's doing in your life this morning. Secondly, after this service, again, you're invited to come downstairs to our baptismal in the cafeteria and just share about 15 more minutes with three people who are professing their faith publicly. So please come and be a part of that. We're gonna pray this prayer together, and then I'm gonna pray a prayer blessing, and then we'll close. If you would, pray out loud with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I receive by faith today your free gift. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for paying for my gift. I receive this salvation. I receive this hope. I receive this new life. And today I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. One more time. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we have a gift for you that we'd like to give you before you leave. If you would see Pastor Rick or myself, we'll be around front or out back. We'll take a few minutes just to give you that gift and to pray with you personally. Father, thank you for my family, my church family. God, I pray a blessing over them this Christmas, that God, as they leave this place, that all they would be able to think about over the next few days is your generosity towards them. I pray, Lord God, with every gift that's opened around a tree or in a living room, I pray that they just would remember and begin to smile at the generosity of your love towards us. God, I pray that you would bless each and every family, that we would have a great time with our family and friends. And Lord, if there's anyone here in the midst of a difficult moment, God, I pray, Emmanuel, God with us, that you would come alongside of them, that they would sense and feel the power of your presence with them. And God, I pray that you would give them great victory this week in Jesus' name. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, God bless you. Merry Christmas.